Anyway, the Torah at the beginning of this week's parsha, the beginning of parsha's Re'eh, tells us that Es HaBracha Asher Tishmu'u Al Mitzvot Hashem Elokim Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eschem Hayom, that it's telling us that there's going to be a choice in you have to make in life between good and bad, between bracha and klala. And the bracha is Asher Tishmu'u Al Mitzvot Hashem Elokim Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eschem Hayom. And on the flip side is VaHaKlala Im Lo Tishmu'u Al Mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh just points out the obvious discrepancy in the phrasing of the two. When it comes to the mitzvahs of the Torah, we say asher. When it comes to the averos, it's im, right? It's es habracha asher tishmu v'aklala im lo tishmu. So why the discrepancy? So the yisod is that oftentimes we are given choices, but there's sort of a suggestion that nudges us in one direction. There's an expectation that one choice is going to have the upper hand. It's like the default choice. For those of you who recall your high school years, for some of us it was more recent than others, I guess, but there's a proctor on an exam, and who's a very friendly proctor. And I'm not referring to someone who sat on his phone all day and didn't pay attention, because in 1992, when I was in high school, there was no such thing as a cell phone, so there was nothing to distract the proctors. I'm talking about the kind of proctor where it was a multiple choice exam, and you asked, I'm having trouble reading this question. Can you read this question to me? And he would read the question, and he would say, so the choice is either A, yes, B, no, C, machlokes, wink nod, or D, whatever, right? And he's obviously nudging you in one direction. You naturally gravitate toward that direction. So the Torah assumes the best about us. Hashem has very high hopes and expectations of us, and the Torah assumes that things will be good, and also accounts for life. It accounts for when things go wrong in life, because things do go wrong. But that's an aberration. We view that as an aberration. It's an aberration. When we do the right thing, that's the expectation. So we go through life knowing that there will be difficult things that come our way, but we face them with a sense of positivity, because it's like the market, it's like an upward trajectory, even though there are times where there may be dips. And the good is what we will assume, and the rest we'll deal with. There are three examples of this that come up off the bat in the Torah. First, when the Torah tells us the mitzvah to lend money to a person who needs a loan, the Torah says, Im kesef talve esami, eshani imach, lo tia lo kenosha. Rashi on the spot writes, Im kesef, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, kol im v'im shabitor rishon, that every time the Torah uses the word im, it's if. It could go one way or the other. It's a rishos, it's not a mitzvah, except for three, and this is one of them. The word im is really when. It's not if. It's that you must. If you have money and someone needs to borrow, you must lend. So one might wonder why the Torah didn't just say kesef talva, right? Why im kesef talva? Why not just say you have to lend money? Why include the word im at all if it only makes the pasuk more confusing? So Rav Juk explains that the world operates based on the descriptions in the Torah. So the pasuk says, Im kesef talva, because we work with the assumption that people will not be poor and will not be in need. And should that ever happen, then here's a mitzvah to help out those people who are in need. But we work with the standard assumption that things are going to be great, that things are going to be wonderful, that your friends are not going to be in need. Second example, when it comes to describing the korban hayoledes, the Torah says, Isha ki sazri av yolda zachar, etc., b'mlos yimei this is the rule of Yoledes. But if she can't afford, then here's what you do. So I don't understand. We put a ribbon on the whole parsha. We said Zos Torah Yoledes. This is it. We just described the entire parsha of the Yoledes. Why then do we say, oh, by the way, there's another halacha we've got to mention. Vimlotim Seyadadesa. So Rav Juk explains that Zos Torah Yoledes is a good thing, and therefore it's assumed that it would happen smoothly. Only as an afterthought, the Torah says Vimlotim Seyadav. She happens to be poor and can't afford it, so then we can address that as well. But that's not the presumption. The underlying presumption is positive. A third example, the Gemara Megillah of Daf Tazayin asks about the placement of the bracha of Rifa'enu in Shmona Esrei. Uma ro'u lama Rifa'enu b'shminis. Why did they make Rifa'enu the eighth bracha of Shmona Esrei? Amr b'yachal mitoch shenit namila b'shminis shetzrich refua l'ficha kavua b'shminis. Because mila happens on the eighth day, and a baby after a bris requires a refua, He just went through a procedure, he went through an operation. So therefore, we have the bracha of Rafa'inu as the eighth bracha, because that's typically what we daven for refuah for. So I challenge you, take a moment. Think back in your own lives, how many times you had serious, serious kavana for Rafa'inu. What was going on when you had serious kavana for Rafa'inu? What percentage of those times was about a baby recovering from a bris? Zero? One, maybe, right? Meaning, my guess is that it's very low. Shouldn't the bracha of Rafa'inu relate to the more common cases of Rafa'inu, where Rachman al-Tzlan, there's deadly illness, rather than to a bris mila? So again, Rav Druk explains that if the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were going to be misakin a bracha, that would be part of Shemona Esrei forever. They didn't want a daily bracha in Shemona Esrei to assume misfortune. Let the bracha assume that we need hospitals so that we can deliver babies. That's what hospitals are there for. The hospital's there for the maternity ward. Everything else happens to be there in the event that something goes wrong. But primarily, it's for the maternity ward. So coming back to our original question, the Or Chaim HaKadosh answers the original question by saying that v'dikdek lomar asher gila hakasav shelo ratza navi lasos hadavar begeder asafik lomar im v'amar asher shu davar muchlat kasher kavsalem nefesh hatzadik, that the bracha is an absolute, the klala is an option. So the rule is not that if you play your cards right, but that if you don't play your cards wrong, then, you know, then the assumption is positivity. We're expected to do mitzvos. We're primed and pre-programmed to do mitzvos. Averos are a most unfortunate event that happens from time to time when nichnas bo ruach shtos, but it's never the assumption. So the Torah is positive, and it demands positivity. In fact, the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch and Simchot Kof Lamed Ches that when reading from the Torah, v'yichavin sheyaschil tamid likro b'davar tov v'yisayim b'davar tov, that when you break up aliyos, you're supposed to start an aliyah and end an aliyah with a davar tov, always with goodness. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria, for the most part, that things go smoothly, that things revert back to goodness. Rabbi Reisman loves to quote an essay that was authored by a retired doctor many years ago called The Doctor's Secret. You could find it online. In the essay, the doctor, the retired doctor, who I think ended up becoming a Pulitzer Prize winning author, reveals the great secret that doctors have, that most of the time, a general practitioner, someone comes to the office and says, I don't feel well, they say, take an aspirin, call me back in a week if it still hurts. Because most of the time, in a week, the doctor doesn't have to do anything. It's just not going to hurt. Most of the time, the body takes care of itself. Most things in life self-correct. When faced with a challenge, sometimes the best move is to do nothing, because the bria corrects itself. I was just dealing with this today. For a couple of weeks ago, my wife told me that someone close to us is making a chasna at a certain time, and the yeshiva wants me to be in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Do I call them now? The chasna is still 2 months away. Do I call them now and tell them I'm going to miss the chasna again, and I missed their last chasna because I was in Eretz Yisrael? Do I call them? You know what? Let's wait. Let's see what happens. Yeshiva called me today. Rav Willig is going to be in Eretz Yisrael that week. Maybe you come a different week. Okay, fine. It self-corrects. Most of the problems will take care of themselves. And every once in a while, you have a problem that doesn't take care of itself, and then it needs to be dealt with. Today was today was Rav Beryl Wine's first yard site. So Rabbi Wine's one of his great gifts was his ability to cut through a lot of nonsense and deliver a powerful message in very few words. So, but one such example, Rabbi Prusansky was a Talmud of Rabbi Weinzach. He told the Maisa that he was once facing a very significant challenge in the shul, and he prepared a 5-minute presentation to show Rabbi Wein all the sides of the issue in order to get his advice. He said that after he went through the entire story, he presented everything with great detail, including several options of corrective action of what he could do. Rabbi Wein gave him the best advice he ever got. It was 2 words: do nothing. Most problems will solve themselves, and the world will default to the positive. People with the right attitude can navigate everything in life, knowing that that is the case. We tend to overreact much more often than we tend to underreact. Just one other example of Rabbi Wein's simplicity in being able to help people. His son-in-law, Rabbi Gewurz from South Bend, said that when his father died, the first few days of Shiva, he said, were very depressing because all the people who came didn't know his father. And he said it just felt like such a cold Shiva. People did their best, but nobody was really there talking about his father. So then one day, his father-in-law, Rabbi Wein, called from Israel, and he simply said, "Your father was a very good man." And the two of them just cried together. It was the first time he heard it was from someone who knew him. And it was just a simple statement. "Your father was a very good man." And that was all he needed to hear. A more amusing story, just once more on Rabbi Wein stories, a Talmud shared that when he was in Shari Torah, which was not Shar HaTorah, Shari Torah, in Mansi Rabbi Wein's yeshiva, he had an unfortunate incident where he had lost control of his car and drove while driving out of the yeshiva parking lot, crashed right into the shul based Torah. The shul and the yeshiva were in the same parking lot, so he crashed right into Rabbi Wein's shul. Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt, but the front of the shul was hurt pretty badly. The front of the shul collapsed, and the whole yeshiva saw what happened. And he said, "I was so thoroughly embarrassed. I felt awful." And he said, "For the next few days, I was walking around yeshiva, like all depressed and devastated." And on the third day, Rabbi Wein called this young man into his office. And he writes that he told me the insurance adjuster had inspected the damage and discovered that I had actually uncovered a weakness in the building and that it might have eventually collapsed on its own anyway. And thank God this happened, because now they could repair it properly and the building's not going to collapse on people. And he explained that this is Hashgacha Pratis, that unfortunate events sometimes are really the most fortunate events in disguise. So the Talmud said, looking back, I'm not sure that it was true, that the building was faulty. It certainly wasn't car-proof, but not sure that it was actually faulty. But he said he believed him. He believed him at that time, and then reassurance did the trick, and he snapped out of his gloominess. So he said over the years, he lost touch with Rabbi Wein. 25 years later, he said, "I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to daven in Rabbi Wein's shul in Rechavia. After davening, I went over to say hello to Rabbi Wein and to reintroduce myself. I said, 'Do you remember me?' He said, 'Sure, Wax Press. Did you rent a car here?' Puzzled, I said, 'Yes, I did.' He said, 'Well, this shul is made out of Jerusalem stone.'" So that's Rabbi Wein, Zichrono Levracha, Yizichro Baruch. Okay, we'll...